I'm going to do two readings this morning. The first is a scripture reading, and then the other comes from a book. The scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 18 to 21, and I am reading from the Inclusive Bible. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment, and anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God loved us first. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you are a liar. For you cannot love God, whom you have not seen, if you hate your neighbor, whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. We have this commandment from God. May you add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. The next reading comes from world-renowned Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg, and from her book, Loving Kindness, The Revolutionary Art of Happiness. In it, she says, sometimes we think that to develop an open heart, to be truly loving and compassionate, means that we need to be passive, to allow others to abuse us, to smile and let in us. Yet, this is not what is meant by compassion. Quite the contrary. Compassion is not at all weak. It is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. Compassion allows us to bear witness to that suffering, whether it's in ourselves or others, without fear. It allows us to name injustices without hesitation and to act strongly with all the skill that is at our disposal. To develop this mind state of compassion is to learn to live, as the Buddha put it, with sympathy for all living beings without exception. I'm going to ask if we could have some music now, please. Thank you so much, Kristen.
I gotta tell you, I saw those masks when I first walked in, and we're like, oh man. But then you know what? It reminded me of some of the things I've learned in the past couple of years. I wrote this song 2 years ago, and it's good to remind me sometimes of it wasn't all bad in the last couple of years. You know, it wasn't all bad. So at any rate, here we go. Yeah.
Those 2 years were just lost, and to recognize that there were gifts even in the difficulties that we could learn. My message today is entitled, My Anti-Churchianity Take on God. It seems like every year, the bastardization of Christianity that is birthed by the unholy wedding of churchianity and conservative politics becomes more and more extreme and less like the man whose title is the namesake of the movement. The recent Supreme Court of the United States ruling alone kind of proves that. I might pause here and say churchianity is the name that I use to describe the mutated version of Christianity that too many folks practice. It worships the church, its dogma, and its leaders, and it values conformity, control, and power over the importance of diversity and freedom and humility that Jesus taught about. Every year, their efforts foolhardily attempt to rob the unfathomably epic expansiveness of God and replace it with the ever-increasingly myopic God, misguidedly trying to put God in a box so that they can use God as a prop, as a tool, as a weapon. Back in the 70s, a small group of conservative strategists decided to weaponize Christianity in the U.S., in U.S. politics in a way that had never been done before. They began to promote an understanding of God that simply isn't in the Bible. Now, their need for doing this was conformity, control, and power. Everything that Jesus confronted, they twisted, bent, and broke the love of God in order to support their self-centered and self-aggrandizing feelings of self-importance. And it did not matter who they had to sacrifice to get there. In some cases, they were even sort of glad to do so. That's how we got to this dismal and destructive road our nation is currently on. It's gone so far that it's turned into a you're either with us or against us mentality. That, my friends, is a far cry. A far cry from Jesus' teachings that we are to love all people, even our enemies. It's a far cry from our sacred texts that tell us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, to live in harmony with one another, to not be haughty. It's a bastardization of everything Christianity is supposed to stand for. It's become a faith that's afraid of questions to the point that it attacks those who ask them. To be a member, you must toe the line, follow blindly, and basically worship its leaders. Churchianity, my friends, is a dangerous problem. It seems to me that we have a belief problem. As the churchianity of the United States continues to strengthen, It intentionally skews its belief systems away from the loving kindness in favor of an elitist exceptionalism that's designed to support the idea that some people are more deserving of God's love than others, that some people are more chosen than others, that some people are more rightly more blessed than others. Oh, given the nightmarish landscape which that inevitably coincides with, which includes a spirituality that gives some people control over God and values some people more than others, but I couldn't help but believe right now might be a very good time to talk about what I believe. So that's what I'm going to do. I believe Christianity has spent too much time shrinking God rather than growing its concept of God. I believe that Giordano Bruno was right all the way back in 1593 when the Roman Inquisition tried him for heresy for his lack of belief in eternal damnation, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the virginity of Mary, and transubstantiation. And he told the panel that they worship, and I quote, a too small God. But I actually wrote a letter to this too small God, and it went viral. Huffington Post picked it up, Time Magazine Online picked it up. And here's just a small edited part of what I said. Dear too small God, I like what this Giordano Bruno fellow had to say when the institutional church of the day came after him for entertaining rational thought. I mean, you know, thinking for himself and not toting the party line. He said, your God is too small. Frankly, those five little words in those, he completely nailed the problem. Any understanding of God that cannot withstand questions and rational thought is a too small God. I'm sorry if that's you. At least it's the version of you that far too many of your followers worship. From evolution to climate change, far too many of your followers are willing to sacrifice logic and reason for you. I never thought that those were the kinds of sacrifices that pleased you. Why would people want to worship something that's so frail and insecure? Don't get me wrong. I tried to make space for you, even long after I didn't believe in that too small version of you that they talked about. I tried to make space for you. Believing that we're all on different journeys, and the too small version of you that some people worship was okay for them for where they were on their journey. I was wrong. It's not okay. As a matter of fact, that version of you is so myopically infinitesimal in comparison to what a God worthy of worship would be that it begs to be put down for the betterment of humanity. That version of you hurts people. That version of you encourages one group of people to feel superior to others. It justifies self-righteous judgment, and it's not uncommon to see it lead to violence. That God is the God of the privileged. It is a God designed to reinforce exceptionalism and to justify unjustifiable behavior of the powerful. That God is a God tailored designed to make lemmings of his adherents to the point of denying reality for the sake of further propping up the bastardization of a God I believe Jesus was trying to teach us about. So we're finished. I simply can't make space for a too small God any longer. I won't play nice. You need to go away. Hey, don't worry about me. I'll be just fine. Turns out there's this bigger God, full of love, compassion, reveling in the questions. Oh, and just a bit tired of the dogma and sacrificial bleeding of reason. I still believe that. You can hear it echoed in parts of my personal statement of faith. Every year or two, I revisit my statement. And from time to time, I share it with you. Today, I thought, considering the horrific ways God is being used in the U.S., this might be a good time to share it again. And as I did the last time, there are printed copies of it on the back table if anyone is interested in having one. This, I believe. I believe that the fullest expression of God comes in how we treat others, particularly the marginalized and suffering. I believe that God is known by many names. No religion has exclusive rights for naming God. Human limitations prevent us from knowing the fullness of God. We can, however, see the results of humanity expressing God. Love, peace, hope, forgiveness, grace, inclusivity, justice, equality. God surrounds us, is in us, and is in all others, and connects us all. Something of God is in all things, and is all things. God is not a name. It is a label that points us to that which we do not fully understand. I believe that the life and teachings of Jesus shows us how to express God in our lives. But for me, the teachings of Jesus are the most instructive in expressing God. Other spiritual teachers, though, have also taught us about this thing that we call God, and it is beneficial to be instructed by them as well. In Jesus, we see what a life lived expressing God looks like. A key part of expressing the love of God is confronting the abuse of power. Doing so cost Jesus his life and showed us how far love will go for justice. I believe that we experience the movement of God on a daily basis throughout creation. Some people call that movement the Holy Spirit. It is given to doing its own thing and should not be taken lightly. I believe that belief alone is not enough. Belief is meaningless without action. How that action benefits creation is the surest indication of its validity and value. I believe that your theological outlook should be constantly changing. If it's not, you are taking seriously enough. Creeds and dogma betray this reality when taken at face value. Beliefs should be informed by sacred text, spiritual guides, life experience. And that life experience includes science and art and nature and relationships. I believe that God is love. If something isn't loving, doesn't come from a loving place, doesn't promote love, it isn't from God. All statements of faith should be continuous works in process. This is what I believe. Christy, can we get you to play us another song, please? Thank you.
I hate following you.
Hey, I have to follow you, so I have to follow you, so I get it.
Sitting here going, okay, if I will only write a song about this, is it going to be plagiarizing?
Do whatever you want with it. That's why it's out there.
That was really good.
Thanks so much.
Like a
We enter into a time where we center ourselves a little more. Some think of it as prayer, some think of it as meditation, others just a moment to breathe and let words come to you. Let's bow our heads together in this moment. It is easy to get so caught up in the busyness and troubles of our own lives that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There's so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world, that it can sometimes seem like just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. Until that time, may we learn not only to confront injustices, but to comfort those who suffer, and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may you share that love and happiness with everyone you meet. Go in love and in peace.